What the fuck? How did this happen?
I shook the doorknob with all my might. It wasn't budging. I was going to have to break the door down. But I knew the bathroom was small and I didn't want to hurt her. Think, think, think. Taking a deep breath in, I said, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to need you to stand at the far edge of the tub. I'm going to kick the door in." She wasn't responding, but I could hear her whimpering. Leaning my head against the door, I asked, "Are you with me, baby?"
"Yes, yes,"
she said through tears. "Okay, tell me when you're ready." After a few seconds, she said,
"Okay, I'm standing on the edge of the tub.
On the count of three, I'm going to kick the door in as hard as I can. Stay back and cover your head just in case it goes flying toward you." She didn't answer. "Luca, answer me."
"I hear you,"
she finally said, her voice trembling. "All right, here we go. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Boom. I kicked the door with all my might. It opened but fell off the hinges. It was now leaning against the tub. Luca came out from behind it, thankfully safe and sound. We'd gotten lucky. The bathroom was so small that I could have seriously injured her in the process of breaking the door down. The only light was coming from the bedroom. I now knew why she was so panicked. There was no light in the bathroom. It had been pitch black while she was locked inside. Luca was shaking as she fell into my arms. She then burst into tears.
"How the fuck did this happen? How long were you in there, baby?"
She shook her head over and over before speaking.
"I don't know. Maybe a half hour. I lost any concept of time. All I'd tried to do was go pee. I shut the door behind me thinking the light switch was inside the bathroom, not remembering it was outside the door. There was no light. I tried to kick the door down, but wasn't strong enough. Didn't have my phone with me. Thank God you came home when you did."
I wrapped my arms around her.
"You're okay. It's okay. You're safe."
Leading her to the bed, I cradled her as we lay against the headboard. "God, I thought there was nothing that could possibly go wrong in this place, that I could leave you with no problems. I never imagined something like this would happen. I would have never left you had I known."
"It's not your fault. Anyone else probably could have handled it. I can't handle anything, Griffin, least of all being trapped in any way."
"Don't blame yourself. Anyone would be freaked out to be stuck in a tiny dark bathroom with no windows, even if they didn't have a panic disorder. You had no idea when I'd be back. Your reaction is completely understandable." She wiped a tear.
"I just kept praying the whole time, praying that you'd come home. Eventually you did."
After Luca calmed down a bit, I ended up calling the owner of the property to give him a piece of my mind for having a door that could trap someone in the first place. That was a major hazard. After taking out my anger on him, I drew a bath for Luca and myself in the other bathroom and ordered takeout. Holding her in my arms as we watched a movie that night, I vowed to do whatever it took to make the rest of the trip a positive experience for her. After all, how much worse than tonight could it get? After a stop in Detroit, the rest of the trip had been uneventful until we got to the last destination, Chicago. The original plan was to stay at a bed and breakfast just outside of the city. Then the owner called to say a pipe burst and that we wouldn't be able to stay there. It had been late when we got that news, and no one was returning my calls for last-minute Airbnb vacancies. Somehow, I'd convinced Luca to stay with me in the penthouse suite of a high-rise hotel. I'd stayed there several times in the past, and knew it offered a private elevator for penthouse guests. I figured it was the best option for us in the city, and offered the least opportunity to be noticed. This particular penthouse was one of the nicest I'd ever stayed in. Overlooking downtown Chicago, the 4,000-square-foot space featured panoramic views and ornate furnishings. It was lavish, to the point where I'd worried that maybe she would think I was showing off. But thankfully, Luca seemed to be able to relax a little and really enjoy staying there. I'd go to shoot the music video during the day, and Luca would stay in the suite and write by the window. She said the view of the city had given her lots of inspiration for the urban-based story she was plotting. It would be set in Chicago. I was thrilled that we would be ending this trip on a positive note. Unfortunately, that all changed on our third night. Luca and I were sound asleep when a loud noise caused us to jolt out of bed. It took me a few seconds to realize it was the fire alarm.
Fire?
No, please, no, anything but this. This was bad, very bad. Worse than anything that could have transpired. Her eyes were half shut.
What's happening?
It's the fire alarm. We have to go. Get your clothes on. Luca froze. I was an idiot if I thought she was going to be able to calmly get dressed at a time like this. I knew I needed to help her find her clothes and get dressed myself. After grabbing her long t-shirt that was lying on the floor, I slipped it over her head. I threw on my jeans and a t-shirt and went in search of her flip-flops and my shoes. After we were both clothed, I grabbed her by the hand and led her to the door. I knew it wasn't safe to take the elevator in the event that this was a real fire. We would have to take the stairs. Unfortunately, the stairwell wasn't private. Her hand trembled in mine as we made our way down the first set of stairs. Her body was limp as she let me lead her.
I've got you, baby. I've got you.
As swarms of people started to clog the stairwell, I knew this was becoming a very bad situation. Luca wasn't saying anything. She didn't have to. I knew this was her biggest nightmare come to life. And God damn it, I'd put her in this position. I'd failed her again.
Stay with me, baby. It's going to be okay. We just need to go downstairs, and then I'll get you away from all these people.
Do you think it's a real fire?
She finally asked, seeming in a daze. I don't know. Probably not. I bet it was some kids pulling the alarm. Her face was turning white, and her teeth chattered.
What if it's real?
Then we'll still be okay. Just keep holding on to me. As we continued down the multiple sets of winding stairs that seemed endless, I just kept praying that we could make it out of here unscathed. Ironically, it wasn't even fire I was concerned about, but rather the prospect of getting mobbed with no security present. No one had recognized me thus far in the stairwell, but it was probably only a matter of time. We'd gotten down to about the 25th floor when someone shouted,
"Hey, I think that's Cole Archer."
I squeezed Luca's hand harder. Luckily, nothing more came out of that little shout-out. It took a long time to finally make it down to the ground level. When we did, we were greeted by a mob of people. There was no sign of any actual fire, but the real shit show, getting through this packed lobby to the door, was about to begin. We could hardly make our way through the crowd as it was, without anyone having recognized me yet. Then the inevitable happened. A gaggle of girls eventually spotted me in the crowd.
Cole! It's Cole Archer!
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god.
The recognition spread like wildfire. Suddenly I felt people touching me, touching us, hands, squealing, chaos. Everything meshed together and was closing in on Luca and me, but I couldn't focus on any of it, couldn't afford to look at anyone or respond. Nothing fazed me, not the people grabbing at my clothing or yelling my name, not the camera flashes in our faces. The only thing I cared about was getting Luca the fuck out of here, my eyes focusing on the revolving doors in the distance. My grip tightened on her hand. When I looked over at her, she had tears in her eyes. They were also filled with terror. It crossed my mind that being in this hotel might have somehow gotten leaked, causing someone to pull the fire alarm. Crazier things had happened. The cause didn't matter now, though. All that mattered was getting to the safety of the sidewalk. When we finally made it past the mob and the cold night air hit us, I pulled Luca in my direction and just fled. Still holding hands, we ran as fast as we could from the hotel. I just needed to get away from all of it so I could think straight. About 3 blocks down the road, we finally got to a point where there was no one else in sight. Luca was still shaking as I pulled her into an alleyway and leaned her against the wall of a brick building. I cradled her face in my hands, bringing her forehead to my lips. Whispering, I said, "It's okay, baby. We're fine. Everything is fine. You're gonna be just fine. My brave girl, I love you so much." But everything wasn't really fine. She wasn't saying anything, and I knew she was still in shock. She just kept crying, shivering. All I could think was that she had trusted me, and I'd greatly fucked up. I had asked her to step out of her comfort zone. I should have known that taking her to a commercial hotel was a bad idea. I thought with the safety of the penthouse and the private elevator we could risk it. But I hadn't taken into account the possibility of an urgent situation. In the event of an emergency, all bets were off. I'd put her in what was likely one of the scariest scenarios imaginable, one that mimicked the very event that had traumatized her. I only hoped I hadn't caused any irreversible damage to her recovery. I'm so sorry, Luca. So damn sorry. In my heart, I knew the situation was very bad. This trip had been about proving to her that we could make this work. I'd proven just the opposite, that I could hardly take her anywhere without something bad happening. I didn't want to lose the woman I loved, but at what cost? Making her life miserable just so I could selfishly have her by my side. Cole Archer could never be erased. He could never have a normal life. He'd never be able to truly hide or keep Luca 100% safe. I'd been so blinded by my feelings for this woman that I'd tricked myself into believing that it would be easier than it is. I wanted to believe that. It isn't easy at all. It's damn hard. As she continued to shake in my arms, the harsh reality of the situation was really starting to hit me, the truth I didn't want to accept, that we might not be able to make it. Chapter 25. Griffin. What can I do? I need to do something. I yanked at my hair while pacing back and forth and talking on the phone with Doc. Luca was out cold in the bedroom, thanks to a healthy dose of Xanax he'd prescribed when I'd first called him a few hours ago. But she'd been against even taking one pill. I wasn't going to get her to take any more, which meant I needed to figure out how to fix what I'd fucked up. Fast.
I'm afraid you're doing everything you can, Griffin. You're providing her emotional support in a safe environment. She'll calm down, it's just going to take some time.
How much time? Doc sighed.
I can't tell you that either, Griffin. Luca's fear of being trapped stems from a situation that she couldn't control. Over the last few years, we've worked on her believing that she always has control, whether that is to walk out of a building or simply get out of a car. But at the moment, she's feeling like she had no control over the situation that occurred, and it's going to take some time for her to be able to see she actually did. She allowed you to take the lead and exited the building. That's giving permission to another person to help when she needed it most. However, I know our Luca, and I'm sure she doesn't see it like that, at least not right now. She's feeling like she was helpless, and in good time we can work to get her to see that sometimes allowing someone to help is the best decision to make, and that doesn't mean you failed. Just the opposite, actually. Allowing someone to have control over you is a form of exercising control in itself.
I creaked open the door to the bedroom to check on Luca while talking to Doc. She was still out cold. I'd taken her to a friend's house. A buddy I shared a label with lived on the outskirts of Chicago. Luca and I had only been sleeping an hour when the fire alarm went off, so we both needed to crash for a while, and I knew taking her to another hotel was out of the question. Luckily, Travis had answered his phone when I called at 3 a.m., and he was kind enough to let me stay over at his place. He was on the road for a gig, so we had the place all to ourselves for the night after a quick stop to wake up his housekeeper and borrow her keys.
I'm not sure what to do, Doc. She wants to go home. I hate to take her, but before we started this trip, I promised her we'd take it one day at a time, and if she wasn't happy, I'd drive her back home.
I think that's probably wise. Luca will feel better in her own environment. After an event like she's just gone through, feeling in control of her surroundings again is of the utmost importance, and her home is where she feels the safest. I'll come by as soon as she's settled in, and we'll get right back on the bicycle. This is a setback, not the end of the road for Luca's recovery, Griffin.
I don't know what I expected the good doctor to say. Taking her home was obviously the right thing to do. But hearing him confirm that I shouldn't even try to talk her into staying made my heart sink.
Okay, yeah. Thanks, Doc.
He must have heard in my voice how deflated I felt.
She's strong, son. Luca will come back from this. You need to have faith.
What was most important was that Luca would be okay. Whatever would become of our relationship took a backseat to her mental and physical health, of course. though the selfish part of me couldn't help but worry. Luca might come back from this, but would we? We'd been on the road for 13 hours already and had about 2 hours left until we got to Vermont. Luca had been quiet the entire trip. Despite her preference to drive only at night to avoid traffic, we also traveled during some daylight hours to get home faster. She was calmer now, almost too calm. While she'd answer me if I asked her a direct question, it was clear that she didn't really feel like talking. Most of the time, she'd just stare out the window, lost in thought. I hadn't attempted to discuss what would happen when we got to Vermont, mainly because I was afraid of what she might say. But with 2 hours left, I needed to at least let her know the plans I'd been able to make. I reached over and took her hand in mine. Bringing it to my lips, I kissed her knuckles. The production company gave me until Monday to get back and finish the video shoot, so I booked a flight back tomorrow evening.
Oh, okay.
She frowned.
I'm sorry I had to postpone everything. I'm sure the band isn't happy about the delay.
It's not a big deal, at all. We once had to postpone an album cover shoot because Styx, our drummer, got his tongue stuck to a stripper's muff. She squinted at me and shook her head, seemingly coming out of her fog.
Did you just say he got his tongue stuck to a...
I nodded. Muff. Her pussy. Luca looked rightfully confused. Dumbass has a tongue ring. He went down on a stripper who had a clitoris ring, and the two somehow got connected and they couldn't disconnect them. He didn't show up for the shoot and wasn't answering his phone, so I went over to his place and pounded on the door. I figured he'd gotten loaded the night before and was passed out inside. When he still didn't answer, I got the building super to let me in and found his head between her legs. They'd been stuck that way for 4 hours. Every time they tried to move, it hurt one of them, so they just lay in bed with his face planted between her legs and waited for his roommate to come home.
Did you unhook them?
Fuck no. I did what any good buddy would do. First, I FaceTimed the guys to show them the shit I just walked in on, and then I called 911 and snapped some pics while the two poor paramedics figured out how to remove the dumbass's tongue ring without castrating the woman. Anyway, we missed that photo shoot and a whole bunch of other shit for my mate's ridiculous crap. No one is going to give a shit that I need a few personal days. Luca sighed. My stupid story seemed to at least get her attention away from the window.
Thank you for not pushing me to try to stay.
I nodded. I told you we'd take it one day at a time and I'd drive you home if you weren't comfortable at any point. When I tell you something, I want you to be able to count on it. But I hope you know I would have done anything to get you to stay.
I know, Griffin, and I appreciate that, I really do.
She turned away and looked out the window again.
I've been thinking... When I first started working with Doc, I had photos of Isabella and me in every room of my house. The one in my bedroom was the first thing I looked at each morning when I opened my eyes. Doc convinced me to put them all away for a few days. He thought that if I stopped forcing myself to look at what I'd lost, it might make moving on a little easier. I hadn't wanted to do that because I loved Isabella so much. Not past tense, I love Isabella so much, but... Eventually, he got me to do it.
I wasn't sure where she was going, but I was happy she was talking, at least. Okay.
You know what happened when I put them away?
You stopped thinking about what you'd lost as much? She nodded and turned back to look at me. Her eyes were glassy, and she was on the verge of tears.
I did. And I feel a lot of guilt over never taking them out again. But Doc was right. I needed to do it in order to move on. It doesn't mean I don't love her anymore. There are just times in life when love isn't enough, and being strong means being able to see that and making a decision that hurts.
I definitely didn't fucking like where this story was heading now. Luca... She put up a hand and stopped me from talking.
You're a beautiful human being, Griffin. And I'll always cherish this time we've spent together.
My heart started to race. This was not happening. And this conversation was not one I wanted to have while driving 70 miles an hour on the highway. I needed to pull over. I was about to pass an exit, and I abruptly cut over 3 lanes to get off at the last second. Luca grabbed onto a door and started to freak out. Hang on, love, we're not having an accident. Everything is fine. I just needed to get off the highway so we can talk. Luckily, the exit ramp had an entrance to some sort of town storage facility. I pulled into a parking lot with a dozen parked yellow utility trucks equipped with plows and a giant salt storage building. The place was otherwise deserted, so I took the first empty spot and put the car into park. I turned off the ignition and started to get out of the car.
What are you doing?
Luca said. I'm taking a break from driving so we can talk face to face. Before she could object, I walked around to the passenger side of the car and opened her door. Extending a hand, I helped her out and told her to stretch her legs for a minute. When she was done, I led us around to the back of the vehicle next to the trunk and lifted her up onto it so that we were eye to eye. Okay, let's talk now. Luca looked down at her hands.
You're in such a great place in your life, and...
I stopped her. Look at me, Luca. If you're about to say what I think you're about to say, I want you to at least look into my eyes while you speak. She swallowed, took a deep breath, and raised her eyes to meet mine with a nod.
We're just so different, Griff. You're a round hole and I'm a square peg. We don't fit.
I started to get angry. She was feeling vulnerable and scared. I understood that, but I didn't care. She needed to fight harder for us. Just say it, Luca. She looked down again, this time for a solid minute before looking back up at me. A fat tear rolled down her cheek.
Sometimes when love isn't enough to make things right, we need to let it go.
I looked back and forth between her eyes. Are you finished? She looked confused but nodded. Fine. Then it's my turn to speak.
Okay.
I only have one thing to say, but I want to make sure you hear it loud and clear, Luca. She looked at me and waited. I leaned in close so that our noses were touching and spoke directly into her eyes with one stern word. No. Apparently she thought I had more to add, but I didn't. After 30 seconds of silence, she wrinkled her nose.
No?
That's right. No.
But I don't understand.
What part of the word no don't you understand?
What are you saying no to?
Everything. You dumping me, you thinking I'm better off without you, you thinking you can just walk away from what we have and I'll let you. The answer is just no. One big, giant fucking no. She still seemed confused when I thought I'd been crystal clear.
But nothing, Luca. Griffin.
I walked away to cool down, leaving her sitting on the car for a few minutes. When I came back, I held out my hand. Are you ready to go now? Again, her face wrinkled. I took a deep breath and lifted her from the car, setting her feet on the ground. Then I leaned in and kissed her lips. When you're ready to discuss how we're going to make things work, I'll be ready to have that conversation. But I'm done having this one, and I want to go home. I'm tired, and I want to go home. I started to walk back to my side of the car and then realized she might have gotten a mixed message from my last sentence. So I walked back to where she still stood at the back of the car and cleared that shit up. So there's no confusion. When I say home, I don't mean my house in California, because that isn't where home is anymore, Luca. Home is wherever you are. The house was so quiet. I could hear Luca's breaths, but wasn't sure if she was sleeping or not. After we arrived in Vermont, she'd busied herself with mundane tasks, going through mail, picking up Hortensia, cleaning out some expired food from the fridge, anything to avoid having a meaningful conversation. We were both wiped out from the drive home, so we ordered some dinner and turned in pretty early. It was clear from Luca's body language that sex wasn't on the menu for tonight. Not that I'd wanted stimulation, but I'd thought that maybe us getting lost in the physical might help her remember the connection we shared. But she'd come to bed in an oversized sweatshirt and joggers and given me her back. I'd spent the last hour staring at the ceiling in the dark, trying to figure out what the fuck to do. I knew I'd never be able to sleep with so much on my mind, so I decided to get what I needed to say off my chest, whether she heard me or not. I don't know if you're awake, but I need to say a few things. Luca didn't budge, and I didn't hear any change in her breathing pattern, so I assumed she must have really fallen asleep. I didn't let that stop me. We all have light and dark inside us, love. We try to hide the darkness from others because we're afraid it will scare them away. But your dark doesn't scare me, Luca. It only makes me want to hold your hand and be your light until you can find your own again. That's what people do when they're in love. I won't always be able to give you your light back because sometimes you need to find that within yourself. But I'll stand by your side and hold your hand in the dark so things aren't so scary. Luca took a big, croaky breath in, and I still wasn't certain she was awake. Until the next sound came. A raw, agonizing, painful cry that rang out like it was being viciously ripped from her body. It was horrible. She sobbed. Long, throaty, sad cries that made my own tears start flowing. So much anguish came out of her. I knew in my heart that this cry wasn't only about what had happened yesterday. It felt like years of pent-up sadness, loneliness, and grief that had found its way out of a long tunnel after years of being stuck in darkness. I wrapped my arms around her and held on tight, both of us crying for the longest time. Eventually, when every painful sob had racked its way through her body, she started to calm down.
"The concert was my idea,"
she choked out. Oh, God. The inside of my chest felt like someone had reached in, torn out my still beating heart, and squeezed it into an angry fist. It might have been your idea, but what happened wasn't your fault. Millions of teenagers go to concerts every weekend, Luca.
She always had a smile on her face.
I tightened my grip around her. I'm sure she was incredible.
I miss her so much.
I know, sweetheart.
I loved her.
You love hard. I know you did.
I couldn't find her.
Her voice cracked and shook.
The crowd, it pushed me toward the door and I tried to look around, but all I could see was people everywhere.
I'd been to enough concerts to imagine how a horde of panicked teenagers would act during an emergency evacuation. Mass chaos with everyone pushing and pulling. If I hadn't understood the basis of Luca's fears before now, the visual of her little body being pushed through a crowd while she frantically tried to look for her friend really explained her feeling of having no control. I shut my eyes. I'd basically done the same thing to her, pushing her out of the hotel, down the stairs, and through the crowd. "Shh, you're safe now. We're both safe, sweetheart." Eventually, Luca's crying exhausted her so much that she literally cried herself to sleep. One minute she'd been whimpering through a painful breath in, and then the next she breathed out a snore. I stayed awake until after the sun rose, holding her tight and listening for any change in her breathing. Visions of the night she described kept playing over and over in my head, and I was so angry with myself that I hadn't been with her, even though I knew logically that made no sense. We were just kids and had lived an ocean apart. Still, that didn't make what I felt any less real. Somehow I finally fell asleep, and when I woke up in the early afternoon, the first thing I did was reach for my girl. A feeling of panic hit me, finding nothing but a cold bed where she'd been sleeping, and a note.
"Be back later. I emptied your suitcase and did your laundry so you can pack for your flight. Luca."
At least she'd left out what she'd really been thinking. Don't let the door hit you on the arse on your way out.
Chapter 26. Luca. I just don't see how it could possibly work. A long-distance relationship is hard enough, but one that basically involves Griffin coming to visit me in my little sheltered bubble whenever he has time off from being a rock star isn't realistic.
What does Griffin have to say about all of this?
Doc and I had been walking for at least 2 hours. When he arrived this morning without binoculars, I knew today was going to be a long and hard session. We'd talked for more than an hour and a half about what had happened at the hotel and how I reacted and felt. That conversation led to what was going on with Griffin and me. And now we'd moved on to the subject that gave me physical chest pains, saying goodbye to Griffin later. He doesn't understand how being with someone like me will drag him down. He's worked so hard to get where he is, and I can't tie a noose around his neck. His heart is in the right place. He definitely means well, but he deserves so much more. He should have a woman who stands on the side of the stage while he plays to sold-out stadiums and goes to charity balls with him.
Griffin doesn't seem like a charity ball type of man. He seems more like he'd write a check and make an anonymous donation to something that's important to him, and then come home to chill.
Doc's use of the word chill made me smile. You know what I mean. It's not the event that's important. It's him being able to share all his successes with a real partner. What if he won a Grammy Award? I would never be able to even go to an event like that.
And you believe the only way you can share that success is by standing next to him physically? Can't a person stand by someone's side in a figurative sense? What about a woman who chooses to stay home and raise the children while a man goes off to work every day? Isn't she standing by her man's side?
That's not the same thing. Doc shook his head.
Explain to me how it's different.
Well, those are choices that a couple makes together. They have one big pool of responsibilities, and they're divvying them up. One person doing the job of child-rearing and the other of supporting the family financially. But in my case, no one gets to make a choice because I'm so screwed up. Doc stopped walking and waited until I turned back and gave him my full attention.
You're wrong, Luca. Someone is making a choice about this relationship and how it will work. And that's you. You're not giving Griffin any choices at all.
Doc had left me with a lot to think about. It wasn't that I didn't understand what he was trying to convey. I just wasn't sure I believed it, that Griffin knew what was right for him, that he would be able to work around my issues forever. He might be willing to accommodate my limitations now, while things were still fresh and exciting with us, but being with someone who couldn't truly have his back would get old real fast. I wanted things to work out with him more than I wanted to breathe. I just didn't think the reality of our lives would allow it. Losing him later might be harder than letting him go now, but the thought of truly letting him go was painful. I was still so confused. That was all I was sure about. Griffin was sitting at the foot of my bed with his hands on his temples when I returned home. His hair was a mess. It looked like he'd been raking his fingers through it in frustration. He didn't see me at the doorway. Observing him like this, seeing how frustrated he looked, really brought home how serious this situation was, what I'd done to him. He was doing everything in his power to make things right for me. But it shouldn't have to be this hard. It wasn't fair for him to have to constantly walk on eggshells just to make me feel safe and happy. I cared about him so much, and I honestly wondered if that meant I needed to let him go. The suitcase was upright. He was all packed. My needing to talk to Doc had cost me valuable hours with Griffin. Now it was nearly time for him to leave to catch his flight back to Chicago. While there, he would finish the video shoot he'd abruptly had to abandon because of me. Then he'd fly back to L.A. before leaving with his bandmates for the tour. It was going to be quite some time before I saw Griffin again, if ever. My stomach was in knots. He'd ended up returning the rental car and had insisted on calling an Uber rather than have me drive him to the airport. I hated the fact that I was relieved about that, since navigating the airport always stressed me out. It was so congested. A normal person would have insisted on driving him. When Griffin finally noticed me standing there, he remained silent. The look of melancholy on his face was evident. I just couldn't be sure whether it was disappointment in the way our trip had turned out, or the fact that he had to leave. As much as I'd ruined things, I just wanted him to stay. Forever. I wanted to cuddle with him on the couch tonight, order a pineapple pizza, and fall asleep in his arms. I wasn't ready to share him with the world again. I'm sorry that you have to go when things are so up in the air between us, I finally said. He stood from the bed and walked toward me. His eyes looked tired when he said,
Nothing is up in the air from my point of view. I've got a lot of fight in me, Luca. I'm here for the long haul if you want me to be. But in the end, regardless of what I might have said about not letting you leave me, I can't force you to do anything. That's the one thing I can't do.
He wiped a tear from my cheek.
It will never be perfect. It will never not be scary. So if you're waiting for this to not feel terrifying, it never will. There will be hard times, but there will be amazing ones too. You have to decide whether we're worth the hardships. In the end, it's going to come down to one thing, whether love is enough.
I do love you so much, I blurted through my tears.
I know you do.
Griffin kissed the top of my head and repeated, I know you do. The sound of a car beeping resonated. He closed his eyes.
Shit, that's my ride.
I gripped his shirt. Damn it, not yet.
Figures the bloody Uber would be right on time.
Griffin brought me into him and squeezed me hard. I felt the weight of 1,000 words in that hug. Please call me when you land, I said.
I will.
He finally planted a long kiss on my lips before ripping himself away.
I can't do long goodbyes. They suck. So I'm gonna slip out.
Me neither. I hate them. Rolling his suitcase, he started walking toward the door when he stopped and turned around to face me.
In case I wasn't clear, love is enough for me, Luca. But you have to let me love you.
The days after Griffin left felt strange, to say the least. My life seemed emptier than it ever had. Having him with me for that extended period of time had made me realize how alone I'd really been for so long. It had felt so good to have him around, to feel so protected. I'd finally made it to the grocery store for my first overnight shopping trip since the time Griffin had accompanied me. This place now reminded me of him. As I perused the aisles, I'd remember things we spoke about the one time we were here together, or remember items he'd dumped into the cart as I spotted them on the shelves. Melons, Griffin. Fruity Pebbles, Griffin. Doritos, Griffin. Daydreaming, I leaned against the cart and pushed it slowly, nearly missing a broken jar of tomato sauce by my feet in aisle 11. It took longer than usual to make it around the entire market. I finally arrived at the register. Doris beamed when she spotted me.
Well, 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 I've been waiting to see you. Someone has a lot of explaining to do.
I cringed, not wanting to get into Griffin right now. Hey, Doris, I said, beginning to unload my cart.
Long time no see.
She started to scan my items while shaking her head.
You and Cole Archer. I still can't wrap my head around it.
Believe me, even I haven't fully wrapped my head around it.
Is he still staying with you? Where is he?
She asked, eyes wide.
He's on tour, actually. 12 cities around the United States. When will you see him again?
I'm not sure, I answered truthfully.
I want you to know that I didn't tell a soul he was in Vermont. I didn't want to make trouble for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
My niece would have shit a brick if she knew. I didn't risk it because she has a big mouth. Someday I'll tell her, she snickered. She's gonna kill me?
I nodded silently. She picked up on my worried vibe.
Is everything okay with you two?
Should I be honest with her? Heck, there were so few people I even talked to on a regular basis. Doc and Doris were pretty much it. I decided to open up a little.
I'm not sure if it's going to work out. You know about my issues.
Well, some things happened while I went away with him, and let's just say, it really brought home how difficult it would be to make it work. She stopped scanning.
Wait a second. You're not considering breaking up with him.
When I didn't say anything, she drew her own conclusion.
Luca, that boy loves you. He loves you. You can't do this to me.
to her. Was I hearing her correctly? To you? Yes. I haven't been able to stop thinking about that speech he gave the night he was here with you. It gave me hope that dreams really can come true, things beyond our wildest imagination. I mean, how does sheltered little Luca living in the boonies of Vermont end up with a superstar? And he turns out to be her childhood pen pal? That is the stuff fairy tales are made of, Luca. And it's your life. Your freaking life. Please don't throw this away because of fear. You'll never get it back. And it's magic. Pure magic. Magic. That was exactly what I needed at this point. I wished I had a magic wand to erase all of my fears. Doris had stars in her eyes. I didn't want to burst her bubble any further. At the same time, I couldn't take her advice seriously. She was too starstruck and blinded by her awe of the whole situation. I appreciate the advice, Doris. I promise to take it into consideration. I'll be pushing for you. Don't you let that boy go and make beautiful babies with someone else. That comment really hit me where it hurt. It upset me for multiple reasons. The thought of Griffin with anyone else, let alone making babies with that person, was a tough pill to swallow. But that would be the reality if I chose to let him go. I'd have to see it all play out in the media, and it would kill me. The other thing was, what kind of mother would I make if I couldn't take my child all the places they wanted to go? What if my kid wanted to see Disney or attend some event held in an arena? I wouldn't be able to take him. I shook my head to rid myself of the thoughts. As I helped Doris bag my groceries, my mood lightened, and I took a moment to reflect on Griffin's declaration of love that had taken place right here at this very register. It had to easily be the most romantic thing ever to happen at a supermarket in the middle of the night. Chapter 27. Luca. The following day, I went to check my P.O. box and found the last thing I ever expected, a letter from Griffin. He wrote me a letter? To say I was perplexed would be an understatement. I thought the days of receiving his letters were over. He'd called me every day whenever he could from the road, so this was definitely a surprise. As I held the envelope in my hands, that old familiar excitement ran through me. I'd forgotten how much I missed this feeling of anticipation. It took me aback to realize it was still there. After all, this whole thing with Griffin had been a whirlwind. Everything had happened so fast since California. It still seemed like just yesterday that all we had were the letters. I raced back to my car to open it.
Dear Luca, greetings from a dark tour bus somewhere off I-95 in bumfuck Virginia. The guys are off doing what they do, and I've locked myself in a bunk for some peace. You'd think it would be miserable in this tiny space, but it's bigger than you'd think. They call it a condo bunk, and it's nice and quiet in here. It's perfect for working on new lyrics. The movement of the bus actually rocks me to sleep most nights. I have a bed and a telly in here, and oddly, that's all I really need. Wait, no. Far from all I need. The one thing I'm missing is you. I know we've been talking to each other every day, but those calls are too rushed, and that's my fault. It's usually too late to call by the time things have calmed down for me, but such is tour life. Today's performance in DC was exhausting. It's amazing how I can look out into the audience at thousands of adoring faces screaming my name and not have it faze me in the least. I've become so jaded in that respect, and it's a little disappointing. Not to mention it's fucking hard to sing Luca now, and it's always the one everyone wants to hear. I keep wanting to change the words, because there's just so much more to the story now, isn't there? If they only knew. Anyway, I need to stop complaining about my job because I'm really fucking lucky to have it, and I know that. I don't mean to sound ungrateful. I just wish you were here. That's all. I told myself this letter was going to be light and fun, bring back the old vibe. Guess I already ruined that one, eh? I miss our pizza nights. I miss food shopping with you. Fuck, I even miss Hortensia. I refused bacon at breakfast yesterday. Now that's true love. Anyway, I miss you. I heard an ABBA song today and thought of you. It was fucking depressing. One of Us, it was called. Listen to the words, you'll know what I mean. also knowing me, knowing you. This letter will hopefully lead to more correspondence. I can only hope that my dancing queen takes a hint and writes me back. The only question is, how the fuck will you get a letter to me? Mamma mia, what a conundrum. Take it as a challenge. How does one receive letters on the road? I don't care how you do it, just gimme, gimme, gimme. Figure out how to get me your letter. You have my schedule, I challenge you. I have a dream that you'll find a way to do it. Could I be any more annoying using ABBA songs to communicate with you? There's our friend Chandler Bing again. God, I'm tired and wired. And have I mentioned that I miss you? Later, Gator. Griff. Actually, love, Griffin. P.S. I do is the answer. The question is, does Griffin love Luca very much? P.P.S. I dare you to correspond in your next letter incorporating the ABBA songs I didn't use. Let's see who does it better. The winner takes it all. Another one you can't use. P.P.P.S. A little ABBA trivia for you. What's the song Super Trooper about?
I looked it up, and it's eerie how much it mirrors my life right now.
Well, he'd done it. He'd managed to make me smile. Leave it to Griffin. I clutched the letter to my chest before reading it a couple of more times. Griffin had given me his entire tour schedule with a special number for the tour manager in case I needed to reach him in an emergency. If I planned this wisely, I could have my letter delivered to one of the venues. That's what I'd do. I'd call the manager and figure out how to get a letter to Griffin like he'd asked. That meant I had to accept his ABBA challenge, too. It felt like old times as I settled into my couch later that night and started to write back to him. Talk about deja vu. Dear Griffin, wow, I learn something new from you every day. I'd never really paid attention to the lyrics of Super Trooper. Some believe that song is about how challenging stardom is. The part that really got to me is when they sing about loneliness despite having all those fans, and how stardom doesn't take away the longing for that one person. Shit. It's like it mirrored exactly what you said in your letter to me. I have this fantasy of cuddling next to you at night in your little bunk. In my dreams, there's no light, but we don't need it. It's just you and me and the sound of the road. I think about that a lot. My heart is on that bus with you. Please know that. Anyway, honey, I'm trying to catch myself before this letter gets too emotional or sad, because our letters have always been about lifting each other up, even when we're letting each other down. Lifting each other up should be the name of the game, but I guess I can't help it. The emotional side of things is winning out tonight. The day before you came to stay with me, I couldn't have imagined how much having you here would change the way I see my world without you in it. Now that you've come and gone, I see how much brighter things really are when you're by my side. When all is said and done, I am finding it really hard to live without you. But I'm no closer to a conclusion on how this could possibly work between us long term. I don't know if it's too much to ask you to take a chance on me when I might fail you. I just don't have the right answer. All I really want is for you to continue to lay all your love on me, but I'm scared and sending out an SOS to the universe to help lead me in the right direction. God, I totally flubbed up making that fun. It turned out to be a rambling, depressing diatribe about my insecurities mixed in with a bunch of ABBA songs. But do I at least get points for incorporating them like you asked? Anyway, I miss you too. So much. Which was the city that you said would have a live feed of the concert I'd be able to watch? I think you mentioned it was toward the end of the tour. I can't wait to watch you live, Griffin. Even though I should be there in person, please know that I'm so proud of you. How you get up there and perform even when you're feeling down. That takes a lot. And I know I'm the cause of some of the thoughts that might be bringing you down lately. I want to change that so badly. But I have to change me, and that's always been hard. I love you, Luca. P.S. Hasta mañana. Figured I'd get one more in. A few days later, the phone rang in the middle of the afternoon. My heart sped up upon recognizing it was Griffin. I picked up. Hey.
You did good, baby.
They delivered the letter to my dressing room at the Palladium. I knew you'd come through.
My heart fluttered. I'm so glad it got to you. I was really worried that it would get lost or just miss you, and then I'd have to figure out a way to get it to the next place.
Nope, it was perfect. He hesitated. Listen, I don't have that much time, because they're calling me for a sound check, but I wanted to give you a heads up about something. I figured you wouldn't know about it if you're still following through on your vow not to Google me.
My stomach dropped. What do I not know about?
Okay. They posted some photos on a celebrity website of us vacating the hotel in Chicago during the fire alarm.
I breathed out a sigh of relief. I see.
I know you sometimes read the tabloids in the supermarket, and I don't yet know if any of those photos ended up in any of the magazines as well, but I wanted to warn you in case you happened to see it.
It's okay. Believe it or not, it doesn't really bother me to be photographed. I mean, it's intrusive and not ideal, but it doesn't make me panic or anything.
Well, that's a relief, because that trip was hard enough without that moment having to live in infamy.
It's okay. Don't worry about the photos. He sighed into the phone, and I could sense his own relief. I had to pick my battles. With enough going against me when it came to our relationship, the least I could do was let the photos slide.
I'm still shocked they haven't figured out your identity. If they were to find out your name was Luca, all hell would break loose. I could only imagine the headlines.
He fell silent for a moment before he changed the subject.
Speaking of tabloids, I called my father today.
That surprised me.
Really? Yes. I don't know what possessed me. I guess I felt like it was time. He wants me to come to London for a visit. He seemed apologetic about what he'd done and wants to make amends.
That's great, Griff.
Yeah. I have to tread lightly, though. I don't want to get hurt again.
I understand. Hearing him say that broke my heart a little. I didn't want to be the one to hurt him. I heard someone call his name, and then he finally said,
Shit, I have to go.
Go, get ready for the show. Thank you for calling.
I love you, Luca.
I love you too.
Chapter 28, Griffin. A little girl caught my attention as I walked to the stadium door. I backed up and motioned to my security that I needed a minute. They hated when I ventured into the crowd, but I couldn't resist going over to say hello. A few dozen fans yelled from behind wooden barricades that line the walkway between where we'd pulled up and the entrance to tonight's venue. One little angelic face happened to look a hell of a lot like Luca. I bent down to her level.
Hey there, what's your name?
She was probably only 6 or 7 years old and really could have passed for Luca's daughter, with her long dark hair, giant green eyes, and thick black eyelashes.
Frankie?
Frankie, huh? That's a cool name. Is it short for something? She nodded.
Francine.
Her mom interrupted.
She knows every word of all your songs. Seriously, we thought of writing to you to ask you to sing the multiplication tables for her.
I smiled.
Is that so, Frankie? You like my music, huh?
She nodded her adorable little head rapidly.
Do you think you can sing me something? What's your favorite?
I Stand Still.
Wow, that was sort of a heavy song for a little girl. Most people assumed I'd written it for a girl I'd been hung up on, but in actuality, it was written for my mom. It was a slow solo ballad, and the lyrics talked about how I didn't realize how important she was in my life until she was gone. Can you sing me a little bit? The little girl looked at her mum, who prompted her.
Go ahead, sweetheart, it's okay.
Frankie looked nervous, so I figured I'd help her out. I'll tell you what, how about if I start, and you can join in when you're ready? She nodded. Softly, I began to sing the first verse. By the end of the first sentence, little Frankie started to rock back and forth with the biggest smile plastered on her face. She was really freaking adorable. I could easily imagine Luca and I might have a little girl who looked a lot like her, so I just kept singing. When I got to the end of the first verse, I stopped. You ready to join me yet? Frankie nodded again. This time when I started singing, she joined right in. My brows jumped hearing how pretty her voice was. I didn't know why, but I hadn't expected she could really sing. Her voice was tiny, but she sang in perfect pitch and had the sweetest sound I'd heard in a long time. I lowered my own voice to hear more of hers, and she kept going. Eventually, I stopped singing altogether and just watched her take it away. The resemblance to Luca was really uncanny, and I thought my girl might get a kick out of seeing Frankie sing too. So I dug my phone out of my pocket and motioned to her mum that I'd like to record and got her blessing. I seriously couldn't have conjured up a better part of any song to capture on video to send to Luca than what unfolded as I pressed record. Since the day that you left, I felt a hole in my heart, going through the motions. Through the window I thrive, but behind the curtain I only survive. I hit the button to turn the camera around to face me, and leaned in to join little Frankie for the chorus while holding my arm out to keep recording. The world keeps spinning without you. The world keeps spinning round and round. The world keeps spinning, but I stand still. I stand still. I stand still. When I was done, the crowd around us started to applaud. I put out my hand to shake little Frankie's and then kiss the top of her hand before kissing her mum's cheek. "You stay right here," I said. "I'm going to send my manager back out in a few minutes to get you some backstage passes so you can meet the rest of my mates and see the concert from the first row."
"Oh my God."
Frankie's mum covered her mouth.
"Thank you so much."
"No, thank you for sharing your daughter with me today." I signed a few autographs on my way to the entrance and then located my manager to go run out and make sure Frankie got some VIP treatment. Since the sound check I'd come early to run through wasn't ready for me yet, I headed to my dressing room and sat down to play back the video I'd recorded. Watching it made me realize how much being with Luca had really changed things for me. I used to get a high walking into a concert venue filled with screaming fans, but now I got that same feeling thinking about having a little girl with Luca someday. Money and fame couldn't buy happiness, and I was starting to think I'd trade thousands of women wearing my face on their chests for one woman resting her face on my chest at night. That was pretty fucked up. But my Luca had had a tough few days. She and Doc had ventured out to get Hortensia some food, and she'd had a meltdown in the store. Apparently, she'd had an easier time with little outings like that before our incident in Chicago, so she'd been feeling particularly defeated lately. The video was the perfect message to cheer her up. Or so I thought. I typed out a text before attaching the video. "Griffin, this little beauty's name is Frankie. She looks just like I picture our own little girl might look. Frankie picked the song to sing, but the words couldn't be more fitting for how I feel without you by my side, love. I stand still. The world keeps spinning, but I stand still without you. XO, call you after the show tonight." I hit send just as the sound tech knocked on my door.
"Ready when you are, Cole. Sounds good. Be out in a minute. Just waiting to hear back from my girl."
I watched as the message went from sent to delivered to read. The video was probably a minute or two long, so I didn't expect an immediate response. Though after 10 minutes, I didn't want to keep the team waiting too much longer. So I headed out to the stage. I checked my phone one last time before we started. Still nothing. Luca must have been writing. I knew how I got when I was in the middle of composing a song. Sometimes I'd go into my own little bubble, and making any outside contact would pop it. I figured I'd hear back from her by the time the sound check was done. Though I figured wrong. What the fuck, Luca? I paced back and forth in my hotel room after hitting redial for the 10th time. Luca hadn't written back by the time my sound check ended. She also hadn't written back by the time the concert had started either. When I still hadn't heard from her after the show ended, I started to worry. So I'd sent her a text to check in. Just like the video I'd sent, she'd read it but sent nothing in response. I also left her a few voice messages. Could I have upset her with that video I'd sent earlier? Was there something on there that would have made her get angry or sad? I didn't think so, but just to be sure, I played it back twice and reread the text that I'd sent along with it. As far as I could see, the messages were only a sweet reminder to Luca that I'd been thinking about her. Since nothing should have upset her, it made my mind wander to even worse scenarios. I started to get nervous that something might have happened to her. Of course, the worst shit ran through my mind. Someone broke in and she's lying there unconscious. Yet my texts were being read. I suppose the intruder could be reading them, though that seemed ridiculous for even my vivid imagination. She fell and hit her head. Again, was she lying there reading her texts while gushing blood? Unfortunately, there was only one thing that made sense. Her last few tough days were weighing heavily on her, and she didn't want to talk to me. A sense of déjà vu hit me. I knew this feeling. 8 years ago, I'd felt an overwhelming sense of dread when I went to the mailbox every day and found no letter from Luca. We might have changed our mode of communication, but my gut told me the same shit was about to go down. My girl was starting to pull away from me. The next morning, we had to leave by 8 in order to get to our next stop. I was exhausted as shit because when I finally fell asleep last night, I woke up every half hour to check my phone for a text from Luca. None ever came. Clinging to a last-ditch hope that maybe she'd fallen asleep early yesterday and then slept in today, I waited until we stopped for our first gas fill-up and the guys hopped off the bus to get some breakfast to call in the big guns.
Hello?
Hey, it's Griffin. I'm sorry to bother you, Doc, but I'm worried about Luca. She's not answering her cell, not text or calls.
Doc sighed into the phone. This is a difficult situation for me, son. I have a doctor-patient confidentiality with Luca, yet I care about her.
Fuck, I was afraid he'd say that. Can you just tell me if she's okay? When was the last time you saw her?
I was with her this morning for an hour. I felt relieved she was okay, but my chest physically ached, confirming she just didn't want to talk to me.
She's okay. She's not physically harmed or anything?
She's physically okay. You shouldn't worry about that.
I felt so damn helpless this far away. I know you can't talk about her issues, but I don't know what to do. I'm on the road and I can't get there right now. Can you tell me how I should handle someone who has some extreme fears? What would you tell a husband or a wife who came to you for advice on how to manage someone with extreme anxiety who's distancing themselves?
I'd tell them that it's not possible to manage someone with extreme anxiety. You can support them and love them, but you're going to need lots of patience if you're in this for the long haul. When someone cuts open a leg, the doctor stitches it up, but it still takes a long time for it to fully heal. Even after months pass, there's a scar. And long after that scar fades, if you hit that skin where the wound was, it will break open easier than other areas. Anxiety is no different.
I exhaled. Yeah, okay.
Have patience, Griffin. I know that's easier said than done, but I don't think I'm breaking doctor-patient confidentiality when I say that Luca loves you. They say that time heals all wounds, but I think when the wound stems from a broken heart, love is equally as important.
I nodded and swallowed. Thanks, Doc. After hanging up, I sat around thinking for a while. Luca was physically okay and had Doc. I knew she was struggling and wished there was something I could do to make her better. But if time was what she needed, then I had no choice but to give her a little space and let her know I wasn't going anywhere. She'd been reading all my texts, so I composed one more. Griffin.
Hey, beautiful. I just wanted you to know I'm thinking of you today. I'm going to give you a little breathing space rather than call and text a million times and add stress to everything you're going through. I'm here if you need me, and I have faith in what we have. Take care of yourself, baby.
I tossed the phone on my cubby bed and lay back with one arm covering my eyes. I was shocked to hear my phone ding a minute later. Luca.
Thank you. You take care too, Griffin.
Chapter 29. Luca. I picked up the framed photo on my nightstand, the one I'd taken out of my drawer a few days ago, and ran my finger along Isabella's face. Hey, Izzy. I'm sorry I put you away for so long. It's not that I didn't want to see you. Trust me. I love your smiling face. It's just, it's hard, you know? Remember when you went out with Tommy Nystrom our sophomore year? You guys were so cute together. Then his dad got relocated for work and he moved to Arizona. You had pictures of you two together all over your room. And you were so sad for months after he left. I talked you into taking them down, and within 2 weeks, you met Andrew Harding. It wasn't that you didn't like Tommy anymore. He just wasn't there, and the constant reminder was making you sad. Well, that's sort of like why I had to put away your pictures. I didn't put them away so that I can meet a new best friend, just the same as you didn't put Tommy's photo away looking for a new boyfriend. But sometimes we need to stop living in the past to allow ourselves to be happy. I didn't realize tears had been rolling down my face until one hit the glass of the frame in my hand. Wiping them away, I set the photo back onto my nightstand. The last week had been brutal. When we first got back home from Chicago, I was okay. Sad, because I didn't think Griffin and I would make it, but the situation I'd experienced with the fire alarm really hadn't hit me. Until it did. A few days later, I woke up in the middle of the night hyperventilating. I'd heard fire alarms blaring so vividly that I ran out of the house in a panic at 2 in the morning. It took a solid 20 minutes to talk myself into going back inside, even after I realized that no alarm had really gone off. Things started to spiral out of control after that. A meltdown in the pet store, profuse sweating while trying to write, and a constant feeling that something bad was looming. On top of that, fear of having another vivid nightmare had turned me into an insomniac. Doc said my delayed physiological response was a form of post-traumatic stress disorder. We spent a few days talking about the night of the concert, something we hadn't actually done in a few years. Yesterday, he'd had me write down the details of what happened that night. The process was supposed to help examine the way I thought about the trauma so that we could come up with a new way to live with it. Basically, I'd taken a step back in my therapy, and it felt about 3 years back in time. The one good thing was that writing about the events of the fire made me want to remember the good times with Izzy, too. So today I'd dug out my storage box from the attic and gone through some of my keepsakes. There were birthday cards, photos, videos of us acting silly together, and even a sketch of a tattoo that Isabella had wanted us both to get of the sun, moon, and stars. I took my yearbook out from the box and turned the pages until I got to her photo. She was so pretty and smiling so brightly. The universe hadn't given her an inkling of what was coming when that photo was taken. I was just about to put the book back into the box when it slipped from my hands and landed upside down with the inside cover open. Isabella's handwriting was splashed all over the pages. I'd forgotten about the long letter she'd written inside my yearbook. Dear Luca, they say your two best friends are supposed to write inside the front and back covers of your yearbooks. I want you to know that my back cover will remain blank, because I only have one very best friend in the world, and that's you, Luca Vanetti. It feels like yesterday that it was the first day of kindergarten and we met. I stood at the bus stop waiting for the school bus to come. Man, was I shitting a pickle. I mean, what if everyone hated me? What if I couldn't make any friends? What if everyone thought I was a weirdo? Now, granted, that summer I'd been very frustrated with the big cow.